Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with CBS analyst Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst Charles Davis. I mean, am I missing anything in your title?
No, I'm just lucky to be here, Kelsey, that's for sure. And by the way, if you ever hear me broadcast and hear something and you say, that sounds a lot like something I wrote, I probably just stole it from you. So thank you very much for your work.
So the reason I wanted to have you on my podcast from here is because of how much you cover the Bengals in your games over the last couple of seasons. I mean, how many times do you think you called a Bengals game in the last two seasons?
Last two seasons, we're probably pushing 10.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in that neighborhood, probably 8 to 10.
Wow.
I've lost track, but that's okay with us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a fun team to cover, fun team to watch. Not just because they win, style of play, and the organization, the people that we deal with, you know, from Emily Parker and media relations, PJ Combs and that crew, head coach Zach Taylor, players, really good, buttoned down, excellent organization, excellent people. So that makes it fun for us.
Yeah. And so that was the main reason why I wanted to have you on. And then, of course, we'll touch on the draft later. But I really wanted to get some of your thoughts on the Bengals, because yesterday it was the first time the Bengals make Duke Tobin available once a year. So when he speaks at the combine, it's a big deal. And there's no shortage of headlines around this team and this offseason, whereas it was a little different because last year after the Super Bowl, when they lost, there really wasn't a lot to talk about at the combine with the Bengals, because they had just gotten over that magical season, and then there weren't a lot of players that were up. I mean, the main topic was, how are they going to fix the offensive line? And then they went out and did that in free agency. But this year, I mean, where do we begin? Let's start with Joe Burrow's contract negotiation process. Then there were also some rumors that I don't know how they got started, but that the team might be interested in potentially trading T. Higgins. And then what does Joe Mixon's future look like? And the Bengals have 5 starters who are on expiring deals here in the next couple of weeks. So there's a lot to talk about. So I wanted to pick your brain about some of these, knowing how much you've watched this team, whether it be the games that you've actually called in person or the film that you've watched.
Sure. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the 5 starters, because I think your opinion on this would be something that I'd be really curious to see. So the 5 starters are Eli Apple, Hayden Hurst, Jermaine Pratt, Von Bell, and Jesse Bates are the 5 that, come when the new year league begins, will not be on the Bengals roster.
Right.
Of those 5, based off of what you've watched, who is the one that you think they cannot lose?
Ooh, cannot lose? Run it for me again. You start Eli Apple,
Jermaine Pratt, Hayden Hurst, Von Bell, Jesse Bates.
I think Von Bell, because of how they play in the back end, the things that Lou Anarumo asks them to do on defense, the communication factor. And by the way, he's really good. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of plays. And over the last 2 seasons, he's made more plays on the football than he made probably the previous 4 seasons combined.
Wow.
Not a knock. Just mm-hmm. all of a sudden, all that became part of his process as well. Whether he's played down close to the line of scrimmage, back on the back end a little bit more, I've seen more of Von Bell being around the football and plays on the football than I saw when he was in New Orleans. So he keeps getting better there. Jermaine Pratt, right next to Logan Wilson, a huge deal. Mm-hmm. That tandem of linebackers, because where's the game gone? We throw it more than we run it. Oh, by the way, they're both former safeties from college, as you well know. So pass defense, able to get into the passing lanes. Plus, they both tackle really well. And again, connected with one brain to Lou Anarumo, the defense coordinator, which is still stunning. He's not a head coach. Everyone's missing the boat in this league.
We'll
good
get
for
to
Cincinnati,
that.
But they're missing the boat. This is a man who commands a team, commands a locker room, and that's what you need from a head coach. They'll get the X's and O's and all that other nonsense later. That's just my thing, all right? Let's see. There's one or more we were missing there in the middle, because there's Apple in the front end and Bates on the back end. Pratt, Bell.
Hayden Hurst.
He got better, okay? Joe Burrow trusted him more. Not they never trusted him, but when he got consistent, you saw all that. We had the Tennessee game, and there was a play that I'm not even sure we replayed, but we caught it in the break, where Hayden Hurst is lined up on the right side of the line, comes back down the line of scrimmage on a backside block, and absolutely obliterates the defensive end coming from the other side. He continues to get better and come into his own. I think the two at most at risk will be Eli Apple and it will be Jesse Bates. I'll be stunned if Jesse Bates is back. They've danced this dance for 2 years mm-hmm. now. I'd be surprised if Eli Apple's back as well.
I think that is the sentiment, though. I think a lot of people, if you had to choose between Jesse or Vaughn, who's more important, they go to Vaughn, and rightfully so, as you say, just how important he is. But
that's not to downplay what Jesse Bates does. It's just if you have to make a choice and this is where you are, they've danced that dance for 2 years now. If they really wanted that, they would have figured that part out already.
Yeah, it's been a interesting couple of seasons. But the crazy part is you're not just thinking about this year. Like next year, DJ Reader's deal is up. You know, they have to get an extension done with Logan Wilson. He's up this offseason.
Nothing's easy in the NFL, is it?
Yeah, it's just there are stars.
Oh, you got a quarterback coming up, too.
And two receivers that you want to pay. So that moves us to T. Higgins. I think this was his best year as a Bengal. I mean, last year he was really good, but I think he really, with those four games that Ja'Marr Chase was out, I mean, that was the time. I remember writing a story. This is T. Higgins' time to prove if he's truly capable of being a number one receiver for a team.
In your mind, you saw that, correct?
Yeah. And I thought he quieted all the doubt with Ja'Marr out, and I think that really helped make his case. What I found interesting about what Duke Tobin said, and you probably get to interact with him a little bit more than me, just getting to...
Probably not as much as you would think. No, I get to see Duke, but, you know...
Yeah. He's a quieter guy.
Yeah. He's not out in the spotlight.
For him to really, balk back at the question about T. Higgins, for him to say, I have no interest in making any other team better.
Yes.
Go find your own wide receiver. We really like T. Higgins. I thought if you were to ask me what was the most surprising thing I learned from Duke Tobin's media availability yesterday is just how much the Bengals want to keep T. Higgins. And
it's big.
A lot of questions are going to be, can they keep Burrow? Can they keep Chase? And can they keep Higgins? They want to keep those three.
And I think that it's a... Obviously, it's the question that always comes up because when the quarterback gets paid, who do you have to sacrifice in order for the quarterback to get paid? Well, the creative contracts, the quarterbacks that like their team mm-hmm. and want to, hey, how do I continue to be this good? Oh, yeah, T. Higgins is a big part of what I do. They figure it out, all right? Your nemesis right now, like when I say nemesis, one of the best rivalries in football is Kansas City and Cincinnati. Look no further than Kansas City and what they did with Mahomes' contract, when you first heard the number, you're like, good Lord, there'll be no one left on that team. You think back when he signed that deal, how many people did they really lose that they wanted to keep? They didn't. Somehow they were able to get Orlando Brown and mm-hmm. make him their starting left tackle. Mm-hmm. Somehow they were able to keep most of their key guys during that time. When they finally made the move to let Tyreek Hill go, all right, they made that move, brought in some other guys on the, you know, cheaper contracts, and they got better as Kansas City Chiefs because Mahomes was able to do that. Joe Burrow's exactly the same quarterback. They will get better if Joe Burrow's around. People will want to come play in Cincinnati, and I never mess with anyone's money. All right, that's not my role. Like I always say, I don't do domestic. Mm-hmm. That's between you and your spouse, and I don't do money. But when you're talking about this, I'd be stunned if Joe Burrow and his representatives don't find a way to have a contract mm-hmm. that gives them flexibility to help their team. Because Patrick Mahomes can restructure his deal. Didn't have to last year because Tyreek Hill's money went away. This year, may have to restructure. I'd be shocked if he didn't, if that's what's needed. Joe Burrow, I think, will be along the same plane.
That seems to be the sentiment. And Duke Tobin said Burrow gets the bigger picture. And you get to meet with him before.
Yeah.
What strikes you most about Joe Burrow? Not just, I mean, everybody knows how talented he is,
yeah.
but as someone who gets to sit with him for 15 to 20 minutes and just talk football, what impresses you most about Burrow?
Authenticity. And the reason I say that is when Joe Burrow walks into the room, and I don't think he would mind me saying this, when he walks into the room, he's polite, he's civil, and he sits down at his chair. And once he sits in the chair, he looks at you like, go. But not in a rude way, not in a, just like, hey, this is the job. I'm here to meet you. I'll be pleasant with you. But we're not here to hug it out and become friends and do that other stuff. In my business, in my profession, I think that a lot of the times we go into these meetings and we want to come out of it with almost like a relationship. Some do, some don't. I learned from my teammates, and I think that I brought the same type of an attitude. Ian Eagles, my play-by-play, Evan Washburn, sideline. We want to meet the player where they are. How do you dictate terms? Joe wants to come in. He wants us to ask him the questions. He wants to go. But he's not rude. He's just to the point. If you want to spend all your time chit-chatting and yucking it up and all that, he'll do it for the amount of time he thinks is necessary. And if you don't get anything out of it, that's on you.
Right.
That's not on Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. But he's not there to put his feet up on the table and sit back. You know, I remember the time when I was back in Ohio. That's just not who he is. And I respect him. That's why I say authenticity. He's the same guy every single meeting. Do we walk away feeling like Joe is going to be like, hey, good to see you guys. How's it going? I think it was summed up really well for me was watching the AFC Championship game, the open to the game, Chris Collinsworth, one of the premier broadcasters in the business, former Cincinnati Bengal, is coming through the gate to check in. Joe comes up behind him, taps him, and never breaks stride.
Wow.
Not being rude. But at the same time, it's not important to Joe, for Joe Burrow to be friends with all of us. Mm-hmm. It's important to Joe Burrow to do his job, be civil, be an authentic person, and then go do his main job, and we record the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I have great respect for him, because he doesn't change. It's the same guy every time. If that's how you want to do it, Joe Burrow, it's up to us to do it his way. He gets to dictate. He calls the dance turns on that.
I think that's so well put. And I only get to talk with him once a week at his podium sessions, but he's the exact same way. He's polite. He doesn't want to do extra. Like, we all know when he looks up at the clock,
that's all she wrote.
It's time to wrap it up, guys. But he answers every question.
He does.
Sometimes he gives really great answers,
and that's
and he's
where I
honest.
Probably missed. And I apologize for that. I don't mean to break in, but that's what I missed is that he's not just authentic and sitting down doing it. But if you ask him a question, he's going to give you a thoughtful answer.
Yeah.
He's not a one or two word guy. Mm-hmm. Unless you ask him a question, it's a one or two word answer. Mm-hmm. But if it's a legit question, whatever, he thinks about it, he gives you an answer, and off he goes. And our respect for him from our crew, I think I can speak for our crew. I don't think my guys would mind. Mm-hmm. Is through the roof. Just because we get the same guy every time. We don't have to, you know, bro hug and all that other stuff. That's not what he wants to do.
It's cool that you guys realize that and you don't try to make him be something that he's not.
He's not going to.
There's not a lot of people, though, that get the opportunities you guys do. He's got a very tight circle. He doesn't do a lot of media outside. So that's why I really wanted to ask you, because I know you get some opportunities that other people don't. But since you brought up the rivalry.
Yeah.
This was kind of one of the main questions I wanted to ask you. You've called a number of Bengals games, a number of Chiefs games. If you had to point to the offensive line, how much the Chiefs put into kind of rebuilding that offensive line after the loss to the Bucks in the Super Bowl, or defensively them having a Chris Jones, for the Bengals to get on the Chiefs level, they checked the box with quarterback, right? Yep. They got that. They got the receiver. Check that. What do you think's more important for the Bengals to shore up based off what you've seen from the Chiefs and them being able to not just win Super Bowls, but every year they're a 10-win team. Yeah. They don't have that four-game slide the Bengals did. So if you had to say, whether it be continuing to shore up the offensive line or getting a player like a Chris Jones, a disruptor, which one do you think is more important for them?
I think for the Bengals, because you have Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard has elevated his game, mm-hmm. on the other end is better pass rusher. DJ Reader is just so valuable for them. Continue to have him, BJ Hill, running mates with those guys inside, where the teams that want to run the football inside can't do it, and you've discouraged them, because then you're able to turn Hendrickson, turn Hubbard loose. You can never have enough pass rush. Mm-hmm. You never have enough defensive linemen. I think for Cincinnati, the offensive line was working as time went on, mm-hmm. and then you had the injuries late.
Right.
It's just a matter of getting those guys healthy. Because remember, when Kansas City retooled that offensive line, what was the question going into the game against Cincinnati? The same question was going into the game in the Super Bowl. Can their tackles hold up? Mm-hmm. And Orlando Brown gets big money, and he's a Pro Bowler left tackle. But I would say that if I'm an honest evaluator, I think he's better right tackle than he is a left tackle because the quickness is going to be an issue. But somehow they managed to handle it and do it. Andrew Wiley is not a guy you think of as a lead right tackle, but he has done it. Inside, Humphrey, Trey Smith, Joe Tooney, that's as good as it gets inside.
Do you think that Lyle Collins and Jonah Williams are good enough?
They are. They absolutely are good enough. The one thing we all missed, not you probably, because I bet you got it in the beginning, but we from the outside missed, was Lyle Collins didn't even have training camp. Mm-hmm. So he started that first game against Pittsburgh, and it was like, have you ever driven in Europe on the Autobahn?
No.
Okay.
Haven't made it to Europe yet.
The difference of driving here on the interstate versus the Autobahn, when you don't have training camp, those pass rushers are the Autobahn.
Wow.
And he had to take that time to get his legs back, to get it underneath him. And then he became the guy a lot of the way before he got hurt again. That's all. They're good enough. Everyone's going to look to upgrade if they can. But those two, I think, are good enough if they have training camp, if they're healthy.
I know you got to get out of here, but I can't let you go without asking you one draft question.
Yeah.
Position player, anyone come to mind that you think at 28 for the Bengals?
28 for the Bengals. Wow. I haven't even done my first mock draft. So that's thrown me a little bit.
A lot of mocks have projected maybe a tight end. Well, I think they could use some help on the interior defensive line.
Tell you what, defensive back?
Corner.
I think a corner, you're talking about is it a Devin Witherspoon at Illinois? Is it a Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State? Is it a Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon? One of those is likely to still be available. If you like athletic traits, Keely Ringo from Georgia is probably the best athlete out of the corners, but I don't think he played to the same level as those other guys. If you're talking about tight end, is Michael Mayer from Notre Dame still around? Is Luke Musgrave healthy enough that you might want him out of Oregon State, even though he didn't play a whole lot last year? He would be available probably down at that number. So, Dalton Kincaid from Utah, he would be available down at that number. Those are the kind of guys that I think that you'll be evaluating as the draft goes through. There's enough in that first round that if one of those two positions is where you want to go, there would be a guy of value there at 28 in my estimation.
Well, I will certainly be doing some work on those names. But thank you so much for joining us.
I'll
really appreciate it.
I'll be sending out my mocks starting
we'll
at
be
the
checking
end of
that out.
Somewhere in the middle of March.
Appointment viewing.
I think I have three of them. And you know what we say about mocks, don't you? Whenever you put out a mock draft, prepare to be mocked. Nice meeting you.